chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. You may follow along in your New Testament Bible, page 27. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Please be seated. Thus ends the gospel. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
As you are seated, I invite you to settle back in your seats for a little bit and picture this in your mind. A small suburban home decked out for the holidays. Inside lives a young family, but the home appears quiet as you enter. Walking upstairs to the main floor, you get a glimpse down a long dark hallway that leads to the wing where the bedrooms are. All of the doors are closed. It takes a moment for your eyes to adjust, but then you see it, a single light shining under a door. Lying on the floor, flat on the belly in that darkened hallway, eagerly peering under that door, is a small child. Can you see it? All of the hope and the delight and the anticipation? Well, today marks the beginning of Advent, the Sunday in our church calendar when the first candle is lit, the candle of hope, and our hearts yearn for that hope as we anticipate this holy season that's now upon us. When I was a child, I didn't understand the concept of Advent, but I knew that Christmas was coming when the Sears toy catalog showed up in our mailbox. Anybody remember that? Okay. My brothers and I pored over that catalog, page by page, circling our favorite items with our crayons, even color-coded, and turned down the corners of all the other pages. Over the weeks leading up to Christmas, that catalog became more and more dog-eared as we dreamed and hoped and looked forward to Christmas. Today, many of us have Advent calendars in our homes. Here in our church, we have the Advent wreath, and we have our traditional lunch and our hanging of the greens, which happens today after the worship. These are all things designed to help us as we wait. And sometimes, friends, waiting is hard. Working as a chaplain in the hospital setting, I meet people every day who are waiting. Patients waiting for test results. Families waiting for their loved ones to get out of surgery. Some families waiting for their babies to be born. And almost everyone is waiting to find a parking spot in the hospital garage, which at Fairview Hospital is difficult these days. And apparently, that child that was peering under the door and I are not the only ones who struggle with waiting. Waiting can be countercultural. Businesses have had their lights up and their signs and merchandise displayed since even before Halloween. Emails have bombarded my inbox with their special holiday shopping deals for weeks already. Now, it may seem quite innocent. Stores are prepared for Christmas early. What's wrong with that? After all, we generally dislike waiting. Wouldn't it be great to just start celebrating early? I mean, why do we really need to wait for Christmas anyway? Why indeed? In today's scripture from Matthew 24, we are given a chance to explore the meaning of holy waiting as a spiritual practice and why it might be a vital piece of our understanding of the birth of Christ. This text that Mary Lou read for us is often called an apocalyptic discourse, meaning it's a dialogue about the end of times. Jesus begins this passage by discussing circumstances surrounding his second coming. Jesus particularly emphasizes that no one, including himself, will know when that will be. It is not our responsibility to speculate or to obsess about the end of time, but rather be fully present today. Or in other words, let's not focus on the end and lose sight of what is happening all around us in this moment. Holy waiting means keeping watch and being present. This is a confusing text to be reading at the beginning of Advent, and I wasn't thrilled to see that it showed up in the lectionary this year. However, as we look forward to the celebration of Christ's birth, we are also living in a time of expectant waiting. Today's scripture focuses on the waiting that is associated with the second coming. But it also provides us with some insight as to what waiting looks like for Jesus and how waiting can be used as a time of holy preparation for an event, whether it's the waiting for Christ to return or the church's season of waiting prior to the celebration of Christ's birth, this time called Advent. Advent is the time of journeying together from the world's deep darkness to the dawn of Christ's light. The pyramids here at the altar have been changed to blue, and that reminds us about the beautiful light of dawn and the awakening that Christ brings about in our souls. These 4 weeks of Advent call us to be engaged in the time of holy waiting. These 4 Sundays are holy spaces in which we are being prepared for Christmas. In general, when I think of Advent, I often think of the physical things that I must do to get ready. The decorating, the shopping, the cleaning, the cooking, all the church events. But Advent goes deeper than these physical events, and this feels really important to me today. Advent is a time when the church stands up in the face of the busyness of life, in the face of shopping and parties and cooking and traveling and decorating, and asks us to slow down, to be still, to be quiet. As today's scripture alludes to, we are to keep awake, looking and listening for the God who is always coming to us. We are to be the ones eagerly peering under that lighted door. Advent provides a space for us to help deepen our relationship with God and with others as we journey together to celebrate Christ's birth. If we ignore this time of waiting and we rush ahead to the end, we miss the whole journey. And we miss the opportunities that God presents for us each day if we're too focused on the end. I know we're human. We want what we want now, and we expect it to arrive the next day, if not same day delivery. But what would it look like if we re-examine the idea of waiting in our lives as it relates to Advent? What if we were able to create pockets of holy time in our lives so that we could prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of Christmas? Now, I'm not saying let go of the Christmas tree or don't shop,
or ignore the many holiday festivities that lead to Christmas. But what would it look like to incorporate a sense of holy waiting into our lives in the weeks ahead? How does one spend waiting as a holy time? And what does waiting with hope, our candle for today, what does that waiting look like? Last week, Pastor Hoyt talked with us about our worry lists. Do you remember? He encouraged us to let go, trusting God to carry the concerns that we have clenched so tightly in our hands. I would suggest that hope is that smallest of sensations that we feel in our hands as they begin to unclench. Right as you begin to unclench it. As we feel the fresh air enter into the sweatiness of our clenched fists, the promised breath of God's Spirit enters our worries in the coming of a little child, our Savior, the one we seek, Jesus. Hope is that promise of God's faithfulness. Hope is not an outcome, but hope is rather a relationship. Hope is our relationship with God. Hope is our remembering the times when God was faithful to us in the past, so that we can remember that God is faithful to us today and tomorrow. And when we cannot find hope for ourselves, we gather in relationship as a church, as brothers and sisters together in this body of Christ, and we hold on to hope together with each other and for each other. We open our clenched hands, letting go of our worry lists, and we grasp the hand of our neighbor next to us, and we hold on to that hope together, and we remember God's faithfulness to us together, God's willingness to sit with us in the darkness together, in the ground, in that holy space where seeds can grow roots, and they will be prepared to sprout in due time. Or in the darkness of the womb, where a tiny child is growing, preparing to enter our world and forever change our lives. Hope happens as we gather. I invite you this Advent to join me in this time of holy waiting, to pray for each other, to make preparations in our own hearts for the birth of this small baby Jesus, who forever changes our world. Remember the lighted doorway in that young family's home? The small child peering eagerly under that lighted door that morning was my granddaughter, Miriam, captured in a photograph that her mother took a few weeks ago. Miriam knew that her grandma was inside that door in that room and would soon come out so they could play and have fun and joy and laughter and singing. But her grandma was taking too long, so she perched herself on the floor right outside the door, watching for the light, eagerly waiting. Today, it's my prayer that our season of Advent, these weeks of holy waiting together, will warm our hearts with eagerness, like little Miriam, eagerly awaiting the birth of our Savior, Jesus, our hope.